Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. Many people are impatient with the introductory process and want to meet aliens, have them in the public eye, have them land and introduce themselves, and protest that the public is quite ready to embrace the alien presence. Why can't the whole process speed up so that we can all move along to the fun part of zipping around the universe in a spaceship and having high technology at our fingertips? The introduction to the alien presence, called the awakening, is picking up speed. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Signs of the Awakening, written August 15, 1995. Decades ago, contactees were visited on an individual or at most a family basis. Almost always, a contactee vaguely aware of this activity kept it to themselves or at most shared it with a trusted confidant. Now contactees are meeting each other, not only in their subconscious during visitations, but in support groups, internet chat groups, and while browsing at the bookstore. Government denial has become an indirect education program. Religious leaders are formulating their explanations. TV and movie producers want to be on the leading edge of a media opportunity, and politicians are seen gladly accepting alien endorsements. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. But the pace of change is hitched not only to the most eager and adventurous humans, but also to those most reluctant. The rule that an element of doubt be present, so undue fear and anxiety not be aroused, prevails. The Zetas have detailed the types of responses humans have to news of the alien presence. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Not Alone, written August 15, 1995. The microcosm that is Earth first appears to humans as the center of everything. The babe in his mother's arms proceeds on the same assumption. She is there for his needs, solely. And in like manner, we follow the child into adulthood to discover the human species grappling with the concept of not being alone, the one and only. There are other intelligent species in the universe. Therefore, I am not God's crowning achievement. They can levitate and zip about and disappear. Therefore, I am a technological dummy. All very deflating, especially for the pompous. The reaction is reluctance, active denial, or a pout, non-participation. Look right at the facts and fail to process them. Process them and refuse to accept the conclusion. Develop countervailing theories and attempt to substantiate them. Close all the doors and windows and develop an avid interest in a hobby. Just don't have time for all that nonsense. Well, of course, it won't go away. Humans, adjusting to the concept that they are not alone, go through stages not unlike the small child adjusting to nursery school. They feel, ordinarily, that they are masters of their small universe. A cry of distress brings mommy or an older sibling running. Throw out a beaming smile and an adult starts chirping. Works every time. Then comes the shock. The babe is not alone. The first reaction to the sight of a room full of competitors and a distracted mommy substitute is to cling to mommy. Humans, reacting to the alien presence, pray fervently, "Save me." The babe may strike out at competitors, bonking another playmate, or snatch toys away for a personal hoard. The alien presence almost invariably brings a cry from some angry human, "Leave us alone, the earth is ours." Unable to mold the nursery to one's liking, the babe may next pout, sit in the corner, lower lip out, glowering. Want a cookie? No. Perhaps non-participation will make it all go away. Some babes pout forever and make it a lifelong practice. We find these humans turning their backs on evidence of the alien presence. Non-participants are the least likely to turn and become actively involved, curious, and exploratory. In fact, the vocal skeptic is most likely to suddenly stop protesting and let it all sink in. Look to the history of avid believers, and one will often find a skeptic. The skeptic gives birth to the advocate. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Thus, the timetable for the awakening is determined by the readiness of both groups, but the world does not move forward as one. Just as individuals vary in their acceptance of the alien presence, likewise individual countries or regions vary. Individual cities or towns vary, and individual families vary. Thus, the awakening proceeds unevenly around the world. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Sightings to Increase, written July 15, 1995. When the subconscious of the majority of your populace is comfortable with our presence, there will be no need to conceal ourselves from you. Sightings will increase and will include alien life forms. This will then move to telepathic discussions with these life forms en masse with groups of people. An increasing number of photos and videos will develop, and these photos and videos will speak to the subconscious of many. Where sightings are on the increase, just where and when they occur depends on many factors, only one of which is the desire of the local inhabitants to experience one. Some sightings, such as the dramatic Mexico City sighting, seen by thousands and videotaped by hundreds, hasten the awakening by being broadcast and highly authentic. Some sightings in remote locales occur because the majority of the residents are comfortable with the concept of being galactic citizens and ready to experience a sighting without undue anxiety. Some sightings by individuals are like the personalized sign many contactees are given as encouragement that the path they are set upon is not a foolish one. But likewise, there are areas of the world that receive few sightings, and Muslim countries are included in this list, where the majority of the humans have been isolated from the gossip that flows freely elsewhere around the world and have been told that anything outside the bounds of their tightly controlled world is the devil, then sightings would do more harm than good. If one cannot see a woman's face, could one be allowed to see a UFO? End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Lights in the sky are the easiest for people to accept, as they are at a distance, not personal. Thus, this is the introduction. In Mexico City in 1991, during an eclipse, when hundreds of people were independently filming the eclipse, a mass sighting of several UFOs occurred. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Mexico City, written September 15, 1995. The initial UFO sightings over Mexico City during the celebrated eclipse were genuine, and for obvious reasons. So much anticipation, folks from all over the world, video cameras at the ready to film the eclipse. This was an intentional sighting to press the envelope on the awakening. Since the establishment could not possibly confiscate every video, they chose to counter this undeniable sighting by clamping down on the news. Did the Mexico City UFO flap hit the news? CNN, TV, major newspapers, front page, even the back page? In the main, it was utterly ignored, and not because it wasn't newsworthy. Man not alone. UFOs exist. Undeniable proof. This is not newsworthy. As with the Air Force and pilots in general, reporters have learned that their life is so much simpler if they leave the alien issue alone. Why try to fight a battle you can't win? Even MUFON is dictated to in this regard. They can only report what is approved. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, Mexico City. The media also ignored the large mothership sighting in Arizona in 1997, seen by people from around the state, too large to be a holograph and too distinct to be missed. And I quote from USA Today, dated June 20, 1997. Something happened in the skies over Arizona the night of March 13th. No one is sure what it was, but thousands saw it, dozens videotaped it, and people all over the state are haunted by it still. A cement truck driver says he was hauling a load down a mountain north of Phoenix when he saw two brilliantly lit orbs spinning like a top. Officials at the Luke Air Force Base in nearby Glendale were bombarded with calls for an investigation, even though the U.S. government is officially out of the UFO business. The subject surfaces constantly on talk shows, and the army of people demanding answers has grown to the point that a Phoenix City councilwoman has launched an inquiry. It could have been a hoax. It could have been an illusion. It could have been almost anything, but the events of March 13, 1997 may add up to the most contentious and confounding UFO report since the so-called UFO age was launched 50 years ago by the legendary crash of a spaceship outside Roswell, New Mexico. The sightings come at a time when interest in UFOs borders on a national obsession, saturating the movie industry, television, and literature. A poll this month by CNN and Time magazine found that 22% of adult Americans believe intelligent beings from other planets have been in contact with human beings. A Gallup poll last September found that 72% of Americans think there is life on other planets, and 71% said they think the U.S. government knows more about UFOs than it's telling. The event lasted 106 minutes. Some saw orbs while others saw triangles. By far the most common description, and one captured on video, was that of a V-shaped object. Witnesses agree that, one, it was enormous. The most conservative estimate describes it as 3 football fields long. Computer analysis puts it at 6,000 feet, or more than a mile. 2, it made no sound. 3, it moved slowly over Phoenix, cruising at 30 miles per hour. Several times it hovered in place in the sky. End of the quote from USA Today. Per the Zetas, an important point to note is the delay in reporting the Arizona sighting, a clear clue to a cover-up in action. 3 months later, USA Today covered it, and within hours, ABC, NBC, and CBS began to cover the story. CNN even ran coverage on the sighting on an hour-by-hour basis. Well, what was holding them back initially? The cover-up. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Arizona Coverage, written July 15, 1997. The first sighting to get full coverage in the media was the large and undeniable alien object seen by thousands in Arizona in March 1997. Distinctive for its size, which could not be mistaken for a satellite or shooting star, this slowly moving and hovering gargantuan ship could only be a mass hysteria or an alien ship. Since the observers did not consult with one another, mass hysteria simply would not fly as an explanation. More remarkable than the sighting and the thousands who observed it was the reaction by the media, which reveals the extent to which the media is controlled on matters of the alien presence. Where windstorms that blow shingles off roofs are reported on the front page, what excuse does the media have for not reporting on a sighting that absolutely proves that the alien presence is real? Lack of witnesses? There were thousands. Lack of credibility? They had videos. A hoax? What could hold a ship the size of several football fields in the air for over an hour? An illusion? The sighting was visible all across the state, and a projected image, one placed against background stars, can fool only those situated at the right angle. All in all, a mass sighting that pleased those producing the extravaganza as much as it pleased the majority of the audience, and one providing a second extravaganza, though one must read between the lines to see it. The second extravaganza is the intentional and international cover-up, which has been in place since Roswell and affects all major media outlets, bar none. In stark exception to the normal media reaction to truly newsworthy items, the media became catatonic for 3 months and then found its voice. Please note, world, the best evidence for the cover-up has just been handed to you on a platter. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The V shape noted by the public, that triangle, was not the V-shaped stealth planes the U.S. musters out during sightings to confuse the public. These are not the size of 3 football fields, and they have human lettering on the bottom in English that confirms this. And I read from a NUFOR report dated April 9, 2005. I was walking back to my motorhome after wild boar hunting in an unpopulated area that I lease for hunting. The sky was clear, wind calm, and the sun had just set. The sky was growing darker and darker, blue straight above, and stars were beginning to show. The sky had become black in the east. The setting sun was still keeping the western horizon illuminated, and indirect lighting from the west made it possible to see my way without a flashlight. I had my .243 Winchester Remington 700 varmint rifle, of which I am a quite accomplished shooter. The rifle is set up with a high-tech Leupold optical sight, a scope, which is extremely accurate and highly specialized for great light-gathering ability and performs best in low-light conditions. The scope magnifies the target image with great sharpness and definition, and the magnification is adjustable from 4.5 to 14 times that of the natural image. I noticed 3 very unfocused lights to my south, and these lights were moving toward me. Immediately I put my glasses back on and saw what I believe was a UFO. The object passed almost directly overhead, making no sound whatsoever. I estimated its altitude to be somewhere around 800 feet and its airspeed approximately 30 miles per hour. It floated and did not fly, as it obviously had insufficient airspeed to fly. I know, as I'm a physicist and an FAA licensed pilot. I could clearly see its underside as it was illuminated from the fading sunlight to the west. I estimate that the machine was about 60 feet wide and 80 feet long and 10 feet thick at the rear. I aimed my rifle at it, and through the rifle scope, which was set on 8.5 power, I could clearly see a distinct marking. This marking was absolutely shocking, as I could actually read it. It was white print outlined in black on a red arrow pointing toward a rectangle of sorts. The arrow pointed at a something rectangular that I cannot define, but I clearly could read these 3 words, emergency release and rescue. End of the quote from the NUFOR article. Per the Zetas, just the U.S. Air Force trying to control the public perception. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Triangular UFO. Written well ahead of this sighting on November 15, 1995. Triangular UFOs are being seen worldwide at this time to build a debunking case against all the mass sightings also occurring worldwide, in case this debunking should be deemed necessary to stop a panic over the alien presence. To prepare for such a debunking, these stealth planes are sent forth to coincide either with a sighting or slightly after. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. It should be noted that during the Arizona sighting, there were reports of NASA personnel all over the place, and some of these stealth planes zipping around also, as though a stealth plane could be assumed 3 football fields long. But they were trying. But both the pace of change and the number of sightings are outnumbering the disinformation attempts. Glowing ships and more mothership sightings will occur. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Mothership Sightings, written September 15, 1999. There are dozens of motherships hovering around Earth all the time. They are hidden from view, but will show themselves when appropriate. Indeed, mass sightings are increasing, sightings of large craft that cannot be denied because so many people see them from a distance at angles that correlate. These people talk to each other at the local bars if the media doesn't carry the news, and in general, an area as large as one of the United States can become firm believers simply because they have shared information among extended families and co-workers. This is what happened after the Arizona sighting in 1997. Motherships are there all the time. You simply don't see them. You can be right under one and you don't see it. Why? Because we have distorted light rays and we give you a view of what is above the mothership from below. So you think you're looking right through it when you're actually looking around it. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, Mothership Sightings. The pace of change, the timing for this uptick in sightings, is related to the coming pole shift. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Lights in the Sky, written October 25, 2004. We have gone on record at the start of Zeta Talk in 1995 with the statement that sightings will be on the increase, including solid photographic evidence. We've stated that mass sightings involving large groups of people would likewise be on the increase. That this has become almost the norm is now obvious from reports. Why are lights in the sky most often the introduction, the initiation route, informing anxious humans that there is more to life than the dreary drudgery of their day-to-day, more to anticipate than an aging body and a burden of bills that seem to become ever heavier? More to control events around the world than a few power mad politicians or heavy-handed dictators? Man is not alone, and his small world is about to burst into the arena of introductions to life from other worlds like a child dragged from a dark closet into a well-lit room engaged in a riotous party. Lights in the sky are the introductory mode because they invariably represent, to the common man, a distance, a safety barrier from intrusion into their quiet life, crawling about on the surface of their world. This rapid increase in mass sightings and photographic proof at this time has a purpose, as man is about to have his world torn apart by the coming pole shift. The helping hands extended at that time may not, in fact, be hands. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, Lights in the Sky. By 2004, sightings had moved to being captured on film and video regularly and blitzing the entire globe. During the spring of 2004, there was a blitz of reports, most hitting the front pages. From Iran, April 28, 2004. And I quote, Flying saucer fever grips Iran. Theories abound. Is Iran about to be invaded by little green men, or are the Americans racing through the night sky in spaceships to spy on the Islamic Republic? Flying saucer fever has gripped Iran after dozens of sightings in the last few days. Fanciful cartoons of an alien spaceship have adorned the front pages. State television on Wednesday showed a sparkling white disc it said was filmed over Tehran. Newspapers and agencies reported people rushing out into the streets in eight towns to watch a bright extraterrestrial light dipping in and out of the clouds. End of the quote from Iran. And in Mexico, March 5, 2004, from Reuters, and I quote, Mexican Air Force video creates UFO stir. The Mexican Air Force has released footage of what a UFO expert said were 11 invisible, unidentified flying objects picked up by an infrared camera as they whizzed around a surveillance plane. The ministry confirmed to Reuters it had provided the video, filmed by the Air Force on March 5th over the eastern coastal state of Campeche. The film, recorded by a plane looking for drugs trafficking near the Gulf of Mexico, shows 11 objects as blobs of light that hover in formation or dart about, sometimes disappearing into clouds. Interviewed on another section of the video, the pilot said they grew nervous when the objects, still invisible, turned back during a chase and surrounded the plane. End of the quote from Mexico. And from Scotland, May 12, 2004, and I quote, UFO in Scotland. Several people reported seeing a huge silver object in the area, silver in appearance and looked like the dishes you see on the side of television transmitters. Colleagues had seen a similar object round half an hour previously and alerted their counterparts that it appeared to be heading in their direction. The Anglo-Scottish UFO Research Agency has been investigating in tandem with the local UFO club. End of the quote. And from Texas, May 15, 2004, NBC, and I quote, UFOs reported over South Texas skies. Man captures UFOs on video. A Texas man claims he captured the images of an unidentified flying objects on his camcorder. The man from Mission, Texas, doesn't want to be identified, but did say he was alerted to the object by his dogs in the middle of the night. The man said the dogs woke him up by barking, and he saw the lights when he went out to investigate. End of the quote. And from Poland, May 4th, 2004, and this from UFO International, and I quote, glowing UFO photographed in Poland. A photo was taken over the city of Rzeszów. Enlargement of the photo is with high contrast. End of the quote. And this photo, by the way, was very impressive. The debunking battle appears to have been won. And I quote from Zeta Talk, UFOs on Film, written June 3, 2004. In a rash of sightings captured on film, UFOs have suddenly moved from ephemeral objects whose film capture is elusive to indisputable objects, regularly captured on film. No less than the Mexican Air Force came forward, having been given permission by their president to proclaim a capture in infrared. A new phase seems to have begun. Indeed, we have stated that as the populace was ready for more solid proof, ready to accept this without panic, and even embracing the notion that proof would come. The rule always, always, during the awakening, is not to engender fear and panic, as this pushes the populace toward the service to self orientation. Thus, reading behind the current wave of UFO capture on film and video, one finds increasing eagerness for contact with visitors from other worlds. In step with this eagerness is a resignation by the establishment. Thus, the almost tepid response to news in the media about all the sightings and film capture. Deflated debunkers, no longer encouraged. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, UFOs on Film. If we've arrived, debunking sightings no longer even attempted, where were we in the past? My personal encounter with Blue Book occurred decades ago when my children were little and we lived in a suburb north of the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. While this was not a place for lowbrows, the neighborhood was home to white-collar professionals and university staff with occasional student housing. On a summer evening, I and many neighbors were out in the middle of the street looking at a cloud where we saw little colored lights zipping in and out of this cloud. They were going in and out of the cloud on a curve, not in straight lines. Zipping in, zipping out, seemed to be a central place in that cloud. A mothership lurking behind the clouds, that's sure what it looked like. Wasn't a plane, the lights were not connected to each other. Not a satellite, the path was not a straight line. And besides, we'd seen planes and satellites aplenty. We knew the difference. Well, I called the police department for an explanation. What else were we to call? And we were all very curious. The man told me someone would call back the next day. Guess they were getting a lot more calls on this issue. The next day, I got a call back from Chicago. Someone who didn't clearly identify himself just said, well, you called about this? He said, well, they're satellites. I said, but they were moving in curved lines. Well, satellites. No matter what my argument was, it was satellites, like I was talking to a tape recorder. Project Blue Book ran for decades before being revealed as a debunking arm, not even denied in the recent Peter Jennings UFO special in February 2005. Peter Jennings didn't even try to support Project Blue Book, though he certainly attempted to debunk Roswell. And I quote from Zeta Talk, ABC Special, written February 27, 2005. Scarcely anything positive could be said about the much-publicized ABC special on UFOs. It gave prime focus on the triangular-shaped UFO, which we have stated is nothing more than a human stealth plane intended to confuse the issue and claim a human origin for the UFO sightings at some point in the future. Was the Peter Jennings documentary nothing more than an establishment shill? It was certainly sculpted by the establishment, who acted as editors. Thus, the most profound statements on the subject of the alien presence were not included. The repeated statement that there was no proof avoided the evidence, such as 1. Multiple captures on home videos simultaneously in Mexico during the 1991 eclipse, movements showing in angle and speed changes, maneuvers not possible by conventional planes. 2. Landing site anomalies, where plants refused to grow at the site for more than a year in some cases, with no conventional explanation. 3. Crop circle nodes bent at a 90-degree angle and still growing, not crushed, where the crop yield is increased over crop not included in the circle arena, and the geometric precision and almost instantaneous creation of huge circle formations, none of which show the hand of man, but of the alien presence. 4. Implants lately recovered from contactee bodies, simultaneous missing time and visitation reports from complete strangers corroborating each other, and pregnancies confirmed by doctors suddenly disappearing. 5. The astonishing number of eyewitnesses to the Roswell incident who were intimidated beyond any weather or spy balloon incident would have warranted, who saw alien bodies, which were then taken for autopsy, based against any excuse produced later by the Air Force, such as a Project Mogul balloon carefully constructed in the 1990s to line up with the evidence from 1947. Does the Air Force lie? They did during Blue Book, but the Roswell lie was taken at face value and not challenged. Are Harvard professors debunking away a credible source? Then why not include the word of John Mack, likewise an esteemed Harvard professor who had actual data to submit, not just opinions? Hypothetical explanations of the abduction phenomenon were presented on equal time with contactee reports, which are carefully based on hard data. Why was this ABC special even produced? Why not just let sleeping dogs lie? The establishment is aware that mass sightings are on the increase, valid captures of UFOs on video on the increase, and the public opinion on the matter leaning in the direction of comfort with the alien presence. They're trying to grab the lead, be the force that is leading the public perception, but will not succeed in this. Those who have had contact or are intrigued enough to be seeking this know the truth. Those who have or will in the near future have a personal sighting see in such productions as the ABC special a firm determination to turn the public from the truth and are having their respect for the authorities trashed in the process. The overall effect of this special is to disgust those who know the truth, to puzzle those new to the subject so they seek more information, and to ultimately increase the suspicion that the establishment is lying to them. This begs the question, why is the establishment so determined to keep the public in the dark? Tell a child not to peek in the closet and their determination to do so increases. Watch interest in the alien presence explode and the truth spread around like water into every crevasse. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. While those in power have a vested interest in trying to keep the public from getting cozy with aliens, it threatens their feelings of superiority. More than once, they have attempted to convince the public not to believe in aliens, and certainly not to get into feeling cozy with aliens. For instance, during the original radio broadcast of War of the Worlds, and I quote from Zeta Talk, Orson Welles, written May 15, 1997. The presentation of the radio drama War of the Worlds some decades ago in the United States was, as many have expected, a test. Given that the alien presence had up until that time been consistently presented as an alien threat, the public reaction was hardly surprising. This test, which the establishment knew would be taken for a real broadcast by many, was to determine not how the public would react to a threat, but rather to determine if they believed in the alien presence. They did, and thus they reacted, and the strength of the reaction told an establishment which had been congratulating themselves on having suppressed belief in aliens that they had not succeeded as they thought. Subsequently, suppression continued but got meaner, with mistreatment of contactees becoming more abusive and physical. They thought of themselves as holding back a flood, putting their fingers in holes in the dike, and looking out for mankind's welfare. All rules of human conduct go out the window when the leadership is themselves in a panic. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Suppression got meaner, as in assassination. One famous assassination associated with UFOs was the death of Philip Snyder. And I quote from UFO Digest, the mysterious life and death of Philip Snyder. Philip Snyder's life was certainly as controversial as his death. His father was a captain in the United States Navy, worked in nuclear medicine, and helped design the first nuclear submarines. He was also part of Operation Crossroads, which was responsible for the testing of nuclear weapons in the Pacific at Bikini Island. In a lecture videotaped in May 1996, Philip Snyder claimed that his father was also involved with the infamous Philadelphia experiment. In addition, Philip claimed to be an ex-government structural engineer who was involved in building underground military bases around the country. Philip Snyder's ex-wife believes that Philip was murdered because he publicly revealed the truth about the U.S. government's involvement with UFOs. Not the only Navy man to be assassinated. Bill Cooper also talked about his experiences and the reality of UFOs and the alien presence. Supposedly running from a warrant being served, he was shot and killed outside his home. Not the only one to be so warned, as Dr. Stephen Greer also had an odd cancer affliction affecting he and his close assistant after he pressed for disclosure on the UFO presence. And I quote from a newsletter from Dr. Stephen Greer, dated July 3, 1997. Dear friends and supporters of CSETI, both myself and CSETI Research Director Sherry Adamski have been diagnosed with metastatic cancer. Both have appeared, rather enigmatically, at the same time, a fact which seems like a rather strange coincidence. I have been diagnosed with metastatic malignant melanoma, and another lesion was removed yesterday and confirmed to be malignant melanoma. The primary cancer has never been found. Sherry has been diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer of the right breast, end of the quote from Dr. Stephen Greer. Note the timing of this infection with cancer, which is indeed something the CIA can do by injection. In April 1997, Dr. Greer was involved in pushing for disclosure, and by July 1997, discovered he and his assistant both had metastasized cancer. What was his crime? And I quote again from CSETI. Report on the CSETI District of Columbia briefings, April 7th to 11th, 1997. The goal of the CSETI Project Starlight Initiative is to present the best available evidence and witness testimony in a manner that would constitute a definitive disclosure regarding the reality of the UFO ET subject. 15 November 1996, A letter was sent to all pertinent offices of the United States government asking for a determination on the validity of national security oaths related to the UFO extraterrestrial subject. Pursuant to the above letter, since no instructions stating otherwise were sent by the U.S. government, Cicetti proceeded to plan a Washington, D.C. briefing for this spring as promised. End of the quote from Cicetti regarding this matter. The threat of a mass landing is floated out as a rumor or potential. This will not be allowed because of the panic it would engender, but those in power, the religious elite, those in political positions, those with great wealth, want the common man to think of aliens as something to avoid. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Mass Landing, written July 15, 1995. There will be no mass landing, none. The Council of Worlds will prevent this, and in fact has prevented this in the past. Reports of pending mass landings periodically make the rounds. As this will not be allowed, why do these reports continue to emerge? The answer lies in looking to who benefits from the reaction to these reports. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Beyond debunking by the government are the false claims put forth by those floating false UFOs on film, like ball or plasma UFOs, for instance. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Ball UFO, written also July 1995. Spacecraft are not round as in a ball. This is not aerodynamic, nor does this in any way adhere to the physics required for travel. Ufologists will report that the crafts reported upon invariably have a flattened or nearly flattened bottom. Circular objects cannot have a stabilized gravity centralization akin to what a flat bottom craft can. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Plasma Ships, written September 15, 1996. Among the false reports of UFO sightings are those that report glowing ships, termed plasma ships. The implication is that these ships are alive, throbbing, and the occupants flowing about within as though swimming in light. The concept of a plasma ship is illogical, as beings in light form do not need ships. And why would an object in light form need to assume the shape of a ship? These reported sightings are false, designed only to increase interest in the local shops and hotels and the supposed documentation supporting these sightings. And the supposed documentation supporting these sightings is one of the easiest hoaxes to arrange. Physical objects filmed or videotaped are scrutinized as to shadow, perspective, relative size, color variances, and texture so that fraud is quickly revealed. Films of light forms which stand alone against a dark background are not subject to such scrutiny, and thus the fraud can run longer. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. UFOs, in fact, are most often saucer-shaped. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Saucer Shapes, written in May 1996. The flying saucer is the shape most associated with the alien presence and is a term known all over the world. Sometimes the shape appears bell-like, with a dome humped up in the center. Humans who recall being ferried about in these spaceships report a cramped interior, especially if the ship is normally used by aliens of a smaller build than the average human. The rim of the spaceship also seems to be unused space. Well, what's the purpose of the saucer shape, or is this simply an aesthetic choice? The saucer shape, or its variant, the bell shape, supports the technology for production of a gravity center. It is no accident that the planets in your solar system line up in essentially the same plane. The saucer shape simulates this, with the edges of the saucer acting as the outer planets in the solar system's planetary plane. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And where not seen, the monster motherships either bend light around them to disguise their presence or cloak themselves in clouds. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Mothership Clues, written in July 1997. Most sightings are of small ships used only for quick local trips, not the type of ship used for interstellar travel. Motherships are the home away from home and carry all manner of equipment, supplies, and facilities that small ships simply don't have room for. Motherships can be monstrously large in human terms, far larger than their battleships or football stadiums. These motherships have the same anti-gravity capability that small ships have, and thus can astonish human witnesses who have seen these monsters floating in the air without the aid of roaring jets or whirling blades. Since motherships hide, are there clues that one is about? The dramatic approach of a mothership in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind was based on reality, as clouds are most often used as camouflage. A mothership hovering in the vicinity is obvious to anyone watching a suspicious cloud for a length of time, as the small ships that port in and out almost constantly can be seen zipping in and out of the cloud. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And at times, when within clouds, they reveal themselves. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Lightning Clouds, written November 1996. Lightning clouds are a type of sighting that implies but does not show the ship. A stationary cloud bristling with lightning is making the statement, a ship was here. The lightning is caused by sudden air displacement when a ship leaves. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The next phase of the awakening will include glimpsing alien bodies. There was Roswell, of course, over 50 years ago, but recently a similar event happened in Brazil. And I quote from the Wall Street Journal, June 28, 1996. Aliens land in Brazil in desperate need of a good shower. On a Saturday afternoon stroll, a trio of young women decided to take a shortcut home through a vacant lot. In a clump of weeds, the three said, they encountered a creature like nothing they had seen before. The being had oily brown skin and rubbery limbs. Three rounded protrusions sprouted from its oversized head. Standing out in a different way was the creature's odor. One whiff weakened the knees. When the creature wagged its big noggin dizzily in their direction, the three women ran off. Word of this encounter spreading rapidly through the coffee bars where Varinga's 12,000 inhabitants trade gossip would soon meld in the public imagination with other unusual occurrences. Sightings of a peculiar cigar-shaped flying object, a mustering of troops and vehicles in a nearby infantry base, and a peculiar bustle at the municipal hospital. Bristling denials from the military served only to inflame public suspicion. The upshot? The Army and the now famous space aliens find themselves locked in a pitched battle for the hearts and minds of this provincial community. Doltish and malodorous, though these space celebrities might be, mere man in uniform are proving no match for the first creatures of any kind from Varinga to land on a national magazine cover. To date, Brazil's leading television magazine has done three programs here. A two-hour nationally televised documentary on Varinga pulled in so many viewers on a recent Saturday night that it was repeated in its entirety the following weekend. End of the quote from Wall Street Journal. And this is not the last such incident we can expect, as depending upon the individual and locale, sightings of alien bodies will be on the increase. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Alien Encounters, written February 1997. During the awakening, sightings of alien ships will much precede sightings of actual aliens for a number of reasons. Any sighting of alien life forms must be in a setting where the anxiety is slight and is balanced overall by a sense of relief that alien encounters have been experienced with a reasonable outcome. The experiencer is not harmed, has not been intimidated, and finds they can communicate with the alien reasonably well. Where sightings of alien life forms will be forthcoming during the awakening, they will occur only where the humans involved are considered strong enough to arrive at logical conclusions rather than panic-driven conclusions. These individuals are few and far between. Beyond the experiencer, there is the issue of how the humans in the immediate locale will react. The overall result must be a positive view of the alien presence. If an individual here or there will have a fearful outcome, this in and of itself will not prevent the sighting if their reaction is balanced out by receptive reactions in others. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. So, how fast will this new trend occur? Tomorrow, shopping in supermarkets side by side with stinky, wobbly aliens? I quote from Zeta Talk, Next Phase, written in February 1998. The awakening is not on a linear climb to some point in the future when it becomes obvious to the vast mass of the populace that the alien presence is real and among them. It is on a curve akin to the rapid buildup that a parabola represents. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And have such sightings occurred? On record is one from Turkey in August of 2001. And I quote from Anna Nova, Tiny flying aliens spotted in Turkey. A field in Turkey has been sealed off by police after a villager claimed he saw a 2-foot flying alien in a yellow suit. Fez Khan and his wife and another woman said they spotted the alien on Monday morning as they rode on a tractor to a tobacco field. Mr. Khan said he threw stones at the creature, which was wearing a shiny yellow gray outfit with a yellow light on the front. Two other villagers claimed to have seen lights in the area at the same time as Mr. Khan saw the alien. He described it as being over 2 feet tall with a wide round head and wide eyes. He said, it didn't have wings or a propeller, but it could fly upward. End of the quote. And another in Indiana, January 24, 2004, recorded by the local UFO group. And I quote, Indiana roadside entity sighting. Location, Manchester, Indiana. After passing the frail-looking figure, the driver looked into his rearview mirror and again observed, illuminated by the taillights of his car, what he described as a tall, abnormal figure that moved strangely, with pointed joints that buckled out. He estimated the figure stood around 6 feet, 7 inches. The driver said he was able to see the figure, alleged to be dark gray or black and pencil thin, stand up and take several steps toward the woods along the roadside. There was an elderly couple in another car, both in their late 60s or early 70s, both with gray hair. The driver, who wore glasses, said, Boy, did you see something back there? I'll tell you right now, that was no person. The passenger in the second car, an elderly female, said, It was no human being. It was no man. End of the quote. From Indiana. Where is all this leading? To a time when aliens will walk among us. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Walk Openly, written in July 1995. Regarding when and how alien life forms will walk among Homo sapiens openly, this will never occur as expected, as the inhabitants of Earth have been led to believe by watching the movies. You are not alone now, nor have you been for many centuries. Your people's physical form will change gradually, such that you will be unaware of the change. Intelligence will increase, as will the use of telepathy. In some areas, life forms not of the Earth will intermingle with the Earth's inhabitants, but these will be in areas remote or involving few people. Word of these places will spread, just as word of the far continents of the world spread during the past millennium. In those places where many life forms intermingle, the people will be aware that they are among friends. Introductions will be made during times of tribulation. The heart is most open when all seems lost. The mind is open to change when the world known before has been turned upside down. It is then that progress toward an open lifestyle will be most rapid. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, Love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.